That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
You want to boost your self-esteem? Do you want more confidence? How about willpower? Are you struggling to love yourself? Are you feeling unworthy or unloved or undervalued? There are so many resources out there on this topic. I'm willing to bet that you've listened to a zillion podcasts on how to boost your self-esteem. And if you haven't done that, you've at least read some books and articles and blog posts on self-love, self-care, and self-worth. And since you're here right now listening, I'm going to guess that you haven't found the answer you were looking for. It's not working, is it? So you've tried all the tricks and the tips that all those self-esteem influencers have put on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. You've tried the power of positive thinking. You've tried the power of positive self-talk. You've heard all the benefits of talk therapy, and you may have even tried that too. And you've said the affirmations over and over and over again to yourself every day. You've recognized the things you're good at, and you've spent time with the people who like you, and you're following your heart. You're pursuing the things you love, but it's still not working. Well, I've got great news. After all your searching, you finally come to the right place because I have the answer for you today. And great news, it's not complicated either. And y'all know by now that this is not an advice show or a show where I give you my opinion on things because honestly, my opinion is like my Enneagram number. Totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God's word says on this subject. So we're all on the same page, right? So let's see what God's plan is to boost your self-esteem. Are you ready for the big reveal on how to fix this? Drum roll, please. Deep breath. There is no plan. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? No, you heard me right, ladies. The biblical plan is not a higher view of self. It's not to boost your self-esteem or grow your self-image or fix your self-worth. It is not a higher view of self. It's actually a higher view of God. But isn't it just like us to make everything about us? We're so obsessed with ourselves that we've become blind to the damage that's being done as we do all this self-fixing. So here's the deal. Did you know that we are all created to be worshipers? It doesn't matter if you're young or old, a man or a woman, a believer or an unbeliever, you are hardwired to worship something or someone. And actually, the unbelieving secular world agrees with us on this. I read an online blog this week that the author wrote, "The act of self-love is one that should be personal and significant to each individual." Now, listen closely for the worship language here. She says that how we decide to treat ourselves, how we decide to think about ourselves is something sacred. Do you hear that worship language? But it's all in the wrong place. So here's the gut check for today. If you're looking for ways to boost your self-esteem, or you've tuned in today to figure out how to love yourself more, you have been worshiping the wrong trinity. You, my friend, have been worshiping at the altar of me, myself, and I. Now, I know that sounds offensive, and you're probably thinking, she can't say stuff like that. She's a Christian. She's supposed to encourage people. You might be thinking, maybe she didn't hear what I said. I'm struggling with self-esteem, self-worth, self-love. I don't love myself. In fact, I don't really like myself at all, and that is what you're supposed to be helping me with. So where's my 1-2-3 guide to boosting my self-esteem with scripture? After all, if I don't love myself, how am I supposed to love other people? I heard you, my friend. Yes, I heard you loud and clear. The problem is you're seeking the wrong thing. Your eyes and your heart and your mind, you're looking in all the wrong places for answers, and that is why you aren't finding them. So today, I want to help you see a better way. A better way to think about what's really going on in your heart and mind if you are struggling with negative thoughts about yourself. Because guess what? Even if the thoughts are negative, it's still all about you. The world is selling it. The world is selling the self-worship agenda and propelling us forward on this wave of do whatever feels good, do whatever you need to do, you be you, girl mentality. I know y'all have heard it. It even bleeds into the church. We've got church services that are really geared towards people-pleasing with the style of worship and the lyrics to the worship songs and even the presentation that is so hyper-focused on entertainment and catering to what people want to hear. It just frustrates me. And don't even get me started on the women's conferences. Conference after conference that focuses on affirming you. I mean, they sell t-shirts at the conferences that proclaim you are enough and I am loved. Do you see the problem? This is all centered around the self. And then there's the books and the websites that literally do not mention the name of Jesus or even make a reference to scripture, but instead give a five-step plan to a better you or a less complicated life or a more fulfilling purpose. And then the women's Bible studies that dwell on our identity as Christians. And you know what I'm talking about. It's that whole who I am in Christ thing. Before you get upset about this, let me explain myself. The church mantra, if you will, for the past decade or so has been something along the lines of the fact that we should find our value and worth and therefore our joy in who I am in Christ or my identity in Christ. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with that, the problem is that it sells us so short and it minimizes the God we serve. Let me just say this again. It is not and can never be a higher view of self, although Satan does love to perpetuate that lie. We have to have a higher view of God. So it's not just our identity in Christ. It is more than that. It's our identity because of who Christ is, who we are in light of who he is. So for those of you who think I'm barking up the wrong tree here, would you give me a moment to just submit to you a few scriptures for your consideration? Look them up for yourself and think about what God's word says. So let's start with Jesus's words because that's the best place to start. So Mark 8:34-35 says, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them," that's Jesus, "said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." No self-worth and self-value and self-esteem to be found in that verse. Jesus says it again in Luke 14. He says, "We cannot love our families or even our own lives more than we love Christ." And then he makes a huge statement in Luke 14:33. He says, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." It's not just Jesus. It's Paul too. He says in Galatians 2:20, Paul does, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Paul again in 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." And one last one, Colossians 3:3, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Do you see the good news here? When we are crucified with Christ, when we are not our own because we've been bought with a price, when we've died, our life is hidden with Christ in God. And we get to live because Christ lives in us. Listen, this is not just a New Testament thing either. Over and over and over in the Psalms, it says that God saves and he rescues and he delivers and pardons because the people are so great. No, it's for his name's sake. And the same thing goes for the Israelites. He delivered them from captivity because they were such great people, because God thought, hey, maybe these people need a little ego boost. No, God delivered them from captivity for his name's sake. It's all for His glory. Old Testament and New Testament are very consistent in this. So what makes us think that God has suddenly changed His ways? And all of a sudden, in the 21st century, He's all about making us feel good about ourselves. Here's the thing. God is not in the self-help business, and He is not our therapist. And this is good news, because He is our Savior. He knows that He is the one and only source of true joy and purpose and worth that's going to bring us the joy that we're seeking in all the wrong places. And this is why the psalmist sings in Psalm 121:1, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The reality is that it would be really unloving and unkind of God to boost our self-esteem, to help us in this chase to make ourselves feel better, because then we would be putting our trust in something other than Him. We'd actually be putting our trust in ourselves. And y'all have heard me say this before, we make really awful saviors. So that would be a false bottom place to put our trust. So what do we do with all this? How do we have a higher view of God? And how in the world is a higher view of God going to help our negative self-thoughts, our lack of self-esteem, and our lack of self-worth? Well, when we come back, I want to introduce you to a biblical concept that I think will change everything for you, from your heart to your mind to your feelings.
And we'll be back with more with Libby in just a moment. And you know, as she's talking about moving our focus from self to God, I want to recommend a resource to you that I think will be extremely helpful. It's Jesus Unmasked from the Fortis Store at FortisInstitute.org, written by Todd Friel. And what's powerful about this book is how it reveals Jesus throughout Scripture, showing us the glory of who He really is. And when Libby talks about having a higher view of God rather than just focusing on ourselves, this book helps us to do exactly that. So pick up Jesus Unmasked by Todd Friel. Again, it's available in the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. And speaking of seeing God more clearly, here's something else that can help you grow in this truth every day. I'm talking about the Fortis Plus app. I love telling people about the Fortis Plus app. 7 new posts every day that will help you navigate everything from personal struggles to the challenges in culture, all from a biblical worldview. You're going to get access to hundreds of hours of content that will not only strengthen your faith, but help you keep your eyes fixed on Christ. It's FortisPlus.org, or you can download the Fortis Plus app to your mobile device absolutely free. And speaking of fixing our eyes on Christ, that's exactly where they need to be fixed. I mean, our culture is upside down. We are living in a time that I don't think any of us ever anticipated living in. The world just keeps pushing messages about self-focus and self-fulfillment. But here at Fortis Institute, we refuse to stand by and watch it happen. We will not be silent. That's why we've brought together some of the most trusted voices and thinkers in Christianity, voices like Libby Glosson, to help equip you and your local church to navigate these times with biblical truth. But we can't do it alone. That's where you come in. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us to create resources that show there is indeed a better way. And so if you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt and you're already faithfully giving to your local church, then we would be honored to have you join us in this mission. Now, if you are giving to your local church faithfully and you are strapped by some type of unmanaged debt, then don't give to our ministry. You won't hear that from a lot of other ministries, but we want you to faithfully steward the resources God has given you. And that means giving to your local church first and not being a slave to the lender. Get those areas taken care of first, and then go to FortisInstitute.org to learn more about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Libby Glosson. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
Well, thanks for coming back to talk with me a little bit more about the self-esteem movement and how it's crept into the church and into our minds and hearts as believers. So before the break, I dropped the big bombshell that God does not give us a path to loving ourselves more guideline in His Word. He doesn't whisper affirmations and encouragement in our ears about how great we are. And we looked at several verses from Scripture that actually teach the exact opposite of what the world and really the church sometimes is teaching us. It is not our goal in life to feel better about ourselves. And God did not save us to make us feel better about ourselves or boost our self-esteem. So the question then remains, what do we do then as Christian women when we are actually struggling with negative thoughts about ourselves? When our minds are consumed with how we fail and how lonely we are and how that's probably because we're unlovable? And how are we supposed to respond when we really feel isolated or left out or less than? Well, we came to the conclusion that a higher view of self isn't going to cut it. In fact, it's going to make the problem worse. And then we concluded that the answer is really, according to Scripture, a higher view of God. And I promised to introduce you to a super helpful biblical concept that I am confident is going to impact you in a profound way. So here you go. That concept is the concept of self-forgetfulness. C.S. Lewis once said that true humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Notice that I did not say, and C.S. Lewis did not say, that we're supposed to self-deprecate. We're not supposed to walk around all day, every day, thinking about how much we despise ourselves or what wicked, awful, horrible people we are. But notice also that I did not say anything about self-elevation. I didn't tell you to go write out 20 affirmations that are true about you because you're a daughter of God. The reality is both of those deep ditches, both self-deprecation and self-elevation, are going to keep you from walking the road that God has planned for you to walk. And that is the road of self-forgetfulness. This road of self-forgetfulness, it's a road paved with humility. One author I love said, "Pride is spiritual suicide." And if you're spending all your time thinking about yourself, even in a negative light, this, my friend, is pride. And if this is you, and if you're recognizing your own pride and your own sin in worshiping at the altar of me, myself, and I would just encourage you, stop right now and repent. Confess your sin, ask God for forgiveness, and then ask Him to help you change right now, starting today. Because this road is also a road paved with a growing and a deepening understanding of who God is. Therefore, it's got to be a road paved with Bible reading and studying and memorizing and meditating. You do know that the one and only place to learn true stuff about God is in His Word, right? Yes, yes, I know the rocks cry out, and yes, the heavens declare His glory. That's true. These are all fingerprints of God. But these things, these nature things, are created things, not the Creator Himself. Scripture is God's revelation of Himself. So what God wants us to know about Him, it's in His Word. So if you want to know Him, you got to read it. Make sense? This road of self-forgetfulness is also a road paved with intentionality. One of my friends often says, we become what we behold. And that is so true. So I would ask you right now, what are you looking at? And while it's not wrong to recognize our value to God, this is just not the point. So for the sake of time, I want to provide you with one out of many biblical references that will help you understand what I'm talking about a little bit better. So y'all know Moses, right? If the self-esteem movement were to choose a Bible character to be their front man, if they needed an ancient guy to be their poster child, Moses would have totally been it. Because Moses was one of the most self-doubting, lack of self-esteem guys in the history of the world. So let's look at Exodus 3, starting in verse 10, and see God's call on Moses. God says, "Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." Well, that's a pretty big calling, isn't it? Moses, you be the guy that goes to the most powerful guy in the world and get him to release all of the nation of Israel. Let's see what Moses says in response to God. Verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?' Do you see how Moses instantly focuses on himself and his abilities, or really his lack of abilities? And then for the rest of the chapter, all the rest of chapter 3 and into Exodus 4, Moses continues this self-focused train. He repeats over and over again, question after question, who should I say sent me? What if they don't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? Don't you know that I am slow of mouth? He says to God. He basically says, I stutter. How can I be the instrument of deliverance for the nation of Israel? So here's Moses, full of self-doubt, thinks he's not good enough, reminding God that he stutters, and basically saying, can't you pick somebody else to do this? And how does God respond? He does not boom with a loud voice from heaven, Moses, you are one amazing guy. Stop cutting yourself down. You're wonderful. You're popular. You're successful. You can do this. He does not affirm Moses. In fact, God kind of ignores Moses. He doesn't really address Moses' self-deprecation at all. He doesn't lift him up with encouraging words about himself and his ability. God responds by reminding and instructing Moses who God is. Look at Exodus 3:14. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then in verse 15, God furthermore says to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Moses wants God to make him feel better about himself, but God has a better plan. He says, I am who I am. You tell them I am sent you. And God continues in this same fashion, answering every one of Moses' questions. God says, I will bring you up out of affliction. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt. It is not you who they will believe or listen to. That again would be me, says God. Oh, and yeah, by the way, you're worried about stuttering? Who is it that made your mouth? That would be me. Me, God. The end, full stop. So from Exodus 3:10 all the way through to Exodus 4:14, over and over again, God strongly responds to Moses with assertions of who he is, who God is, not who Moses is. And this is God's response to you too, my friend. It's his response to me through his word. All right, so you came here to get a 1-2-3 scripture guide to boosting your self-esteem. So here it is. Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. Just like you make a horrible savior, God is a perfect savior. So the more truth about God that you know from his word, the more all those negative thoughts about yourself, oh, they're just going to melt into the background. There are some awesome studies out there to help you learn the attributes of God, but I'm going to tell you the very best place to start is really just by reading the Bible for yourself. So this is a cool study tactic that one of my pastors taught me. It's super easy and a great place to start. So just start at the beginning in Genesis. Read a chapter, stop, and ask yourself, what did I learn about God in that chapter? Then pick up where you left off, maybe later that afternoon or the next morning, and rinse and repeat every day, filling your mind with truth about the character of God. So this road of self-forgetfulness that you're walking with God, it's a road paved with thinking less and less about yourself because you are thinking more and more about God. And here's the hope. Here's where the good part is. When you think less about yourself and more about God, those hurtful words coming from someone else, well, they're just going to bounce right off you like a ping pong ball on a brick wall. You're going to be so laser focused on God, what they say won't matter. And when you're thinking about self less and God more, and you look in the mirror, it won't matter what physical reflection stares back at you because you're going to be so enamored with the God that made you, you're not going to even notice. When you behold our great God instead of being consumed with self, and God calls you to do something way outside your comfort zone, like lead the nation of Israel out of captivity to the most powerful man in the world, you're not going to be like Moses. You will not spend two chapters bemoaning your shortfalls. You're going to say yes, because you will know it's God working in you and through you to accomplish His sovereign will. And this, my friends, is a better way to respond, a better way to think, and a better way to live.
And now that you know the better way to think about self-esteem, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.